This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shanning. Now, to mark World Water Day, which was yesterday, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, the former Minister of Land, Water and Natural Resources, on policy challenges when it comes to ensuring adequate clean water supply here in Malaysia. But in the meantime, right now, let's take a look at a bit of a news roundup of the COVID-19 here in Malaysia, because over the weekend, the death toll rose to 10. There have been 1,306 confirmed cases of the infection. Yesterday, that number jumped by 123, which is the eighth day that cases increased by the triple digits.
Which is why it's very important everybody stay at home and practice social distancing. I think that's the priority. And, you know, if you don't do your part, then we won't be able to get these numbers down. And I think that's very, very important. The other thing I'd like to highlight is actually, I think kudos to our Director General of Health, right? I mean, he gives a press conference every day and he's been this calming, capable presence as he kind of gives the nation an update on the healthcare situation every day. And I think, you know, it must be so, we already find it so hard just to listen to it. Imagine that you are the bearer of this news. And also for all the medical frontliners, all the doctors, nurses, even the cleaners, the people that work in hospitals, everyone involved in keeping us safe from COVID-19. I think, you know, a lot of appreciation to them. They are really facing the brunt of it.
They are. And in order to really support them in their work, we also need to do our part and stay home and be responsible citizens and help do your part to help flatten the curve. Now, we have been hearing more from our government officials, which is good, on actions being taken to tackle the fallout from the COVID-19 outbreak. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has also clarified in its FAQ that travel between Peninsula Malaysia and Sabah and Sarawak is not allowed during this period. Now, foreign nationals are also not allowed to enter the country, apart from, of course, foreign diplomats and their dependents. Now, the other development was that the army was brought in on starting Sunday afternoon to help police enforce the MCO. But the chief of the Malaysian Armed Forces has come out to assure the public that the army is not permitted to use physical force in carrying out enforcement duties. So this was in response to an audio clip that's gone viral, purportedly authorising use of force against the public. So the army chief said in no uncertain terms that this is not true.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of fake news and misinformation out there. So even our communications and multimedia minister, Dato Saifuddin Abdullah, said that, you know, this ministry is investigating 42 such cases. So the point is, you know, please refrain from sharing news or information that you think looks suspicious. You know, anything where my friend, my neighbour usually starts that way, please don't send it out. Unless you can verify it or you had this first-hand experience.
Yes, and if you also be wary of the sending first, just in case. Don't do that. You know, verify it with someone who has direct knowledge of the information, or check out the official government websites and services that are available. Now, this morning, though, turning our attention to some developments in corporate Malaysia, which might have gotten more attention had it not been for COVID-19. Air Asia's co-founders Tan Sri Tony Fernandez and Dato' Kamarudin Maranon have been cleared of corruption allegations by an independent internal inquiry. So this inquiry was conducted by BDO Governance Advisory, which was appointed by the AirAsia Board to review the allegations, and their report was presented last Monday.
Now, just to recap, because it has been quite a while since this happened. So the corruption allegations came to light in early February when AirAsia was mentioned in UK court documents, which allege Airbus of bribing two unnamed AirAsia executives with some $50 million in exchange for purchasing Airbus aircraft. Airbus allegedly provided the kickbacks in the form of sponsorship of a sports team owned by the two executives. And these two executives were believed to be Tan Sri Tony and Dato' Kamarudin, while the sports team in question was reported to be the Cadenham F1 racing team, which they previously owned.
So unsurprisingly, both Tan Sri Tony and Dato' Kamarudin have categorically denied all allegations. Subsequent to the release of the BGO report, the board has accepted the findings and reinstated their executive positions. So the question is now, can AirAsia close this chapter and move on from the damaging allegations of corruption? So for some reactions to these developments, we have on the line with us P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Guna. So in your view, does the BDO report convincingly absolve AirAsia chiefs of financial abuse and mismanagement?
No, I don't think it does. First of all, the report was commissioned by the directors, and some of them were long-serving and may have been directors at the time that the transactions were made. So there is clear conflict by some existing directors and the investigation. So the other thing is, when the investigations, around the time that the investigations were first started, I checked the 2010 annual report, and this was the period in which the transactions were supposed to have been made, but there was no disclosure of related party transactions. So even if the board had been notified of the transactions, it does not necessarily mean that the deals were above board. Because in this case, the directors may have well been complicit in the transactions.
So, Guna, what should minority shareholders do next then? Because it seems that the board of directors has kind of closed the chapter on this.
In this case, you're asking about what the minority shareholders can do.
Yes.
Okay, both Fernandez and Kamarudin jointly own, say, around 32% of AirAsia. So in this case, then, what the minority shareholders should do is to force an extraordinary general meeting and thereby require an independent forensic audit. So that is the one which will get to the bottom of this whole thing, this is important because there are, if the allegations are indeed false, and the video report seems to say it is, the allegations by the Serious Fraud Office of the UK, then there is remedy that in both cases, whether it's false or not, there can be remedies that AirAsia can get for itself, So one is the false allegations itself injure the reputation of AirAsia. And if indeed there was actually a bribe that was paid, then AirAsia can sue Airbus for restitution as well. So it is important that the forensic audit be completely independent, And in this case, it is possible for the minority shareholders, I think, to force an AGM and require this.
So when the allegations first broke, several other authorities, namely the MACC, the Securities Commission and the Malaysian Aviation Commission, all announced parallel investigations. So what do we know about the status of these probes? Are they likely to continue?
They are continuing. And we have actually inquired with people like Securities Commission and Bursa Malaysia. They are continuing with the investigations, and they say that they cannot make any comments on the continuing investigations at this time. The other body, which is perhaps the most important, which is making the investigations, is the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. And then likewise, they have not made any comments. So these are the MACC investigations in particular will be very, very relevant to whether both the founders are let off the hook eventually or cleared.
And Guna, considering that these investigations are still going on, does it make any sense that these two directors are reinstated and have been cleared?
Yeah. So perhaps it's a bit too early to clear them because the rest of the investigations are not complete yet. So the more prudent measure for the board to adopt would have been to wait for these investigations to be completed before they are cleared. So, but in this case here, they seem to have been a bit too hasty over the whole thing. But then on the other hand, some of these investigations can take a very long time. So there is that consideration to be taken into account as well.
Now, Gunnar, just zooming out as well a little bit, airlines are taking a massive hit from this COVID-19 outbreak, you know, as travel stalls amid global lockdowns, movement restrictions. So can AirAsia and our national carrier, Malaysia Airlines, survive these troubled times?
I think what is very clear is they will be taking a huge amount of losses now. All the airlines everywhere in the world are going through simply because the travel market has collapsed. But some of them may still be able to survive, but almost all of them may need to get some kind of aid. But what kind of aid that the government should give is the one that that is a question mark. So if there is any kind of aid that the government gives, then perhaps it should be in the form of convertible bonds. And these should come with maybe perhaps deferred interest rates, but high interest rates when it kicks in. So that is what will actually reflect the kind of current risk which is out there, because some airlines will definitely go under. And since governments will be taking very huge risks, they must be given the right to get huge returns if the airlines turn around. So some form of equity options to reflect the current risk is the only fair way for them to help. But the other question, the other fair question that can be asked is, should airlines be safe? So after all, Malaysian registered airlines provide actually no more than about 35,000 jobs. If you total the, if you total up the employment numbers of the various airlines, I think four have been mentioned for aid, which is AirAsia, Malaysia Airlines, Firefly, and Malindo. So that's only 0.25% of total jobs now. So if you look at the small and medium enterprises, they account for some 37% of GDP and for some 65% of all jobs. So that's 9 million jobs that you're talking about. So who should be helped? Definitely, you should be putting a lot of help and effort into the SMEs and to those who are self-employed, who have got no one to turn to, basically. You know?
Right. Thank you very much, Gunnar. Sorry, we're running out of time because we're heading into the 7:30 news now. That was P. Gunnar Segaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, talking to us about the latest developments in AirAsia. And so be sure to stay tuned for more after this, because up next, we're tackling the question of why hasn't a decision been made to postpone the 2020 Olympics in Japan, with Jonathan Berkshire Miller of the Japan Institute of International Affairs weighing in. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.